forato Pantani, ha forato Pantani.
Attenzione, Pantani fora, un momento
e non riesce
importante,
a...
vediamo che...
No, non aveva forato.
Cambiando di catena.
Sì, sono proprio alle spalle della maglia rosa, è stata l'assistenza Shimano a dargli la bicicletta, adesso è arrivato anche Beppe Martinelli. Un momento veramente critico questo, adesso ha ripreso Pantani, ecco, lo stanno aspettando Velo e anche Borgheresi.
Secondo
quindi
me...
vediamo se rientra Marco Pantani, mancano 8,5 km al traguardo. Tutta la Mercatone, ma la Mercatone 1 adesso indietro, c'è anche Podenzana, Velo, Zaina e sono tutti con Pantani.
Nel ritardo di Pantani, 15 secondi, salto di catena per Pantani. Il mercato è stato pronto ad avvicinarsi, non c'è stato...
And welcome everyone to Between Two Wheels podcast. We're doing episode 327, stage 2 of the Giro d'Italia, and I hope everyone's having a good Cinco de Mayo. And we got Victor in there. Yes, we are live on YouTube. Thanks for joining us. And look, we did a little bit of a prelude there, a little bit of a open and homage to Pantani, and I'm going to talk about that because that was in 1999, stage up to Europa. They've gone up there, what, 5-6 times? There's some questionable, did they go up there one time, 2017? I have it listed, or 2019. They have it listed with Bernal. I can't find it anywhere, not even finishing, not going up there on the stage. So we have some times going up Europa. It's a famous climb there. Like, well, it's somewhat famous because of Pantani. You saw it there. They come to the finish there. The last 11.3 or so kilometer stage or climb on the stage. Pantani in 1999 has a leader's jersey. He has a chain problem at the bottom. He loses 15 seconds. The race is already set off. They're then attacking up there. And what does he do? He flies through everybody and gets the win. And now, look, that was jet-fueled EPO era at its best, and he set the fastest time. He still has the record up there. It wasn't touched today. What's most disturbing, you look at that race there in 1999, and what's most disturbing about it is there's a break off the front, but they're getting caught, and who's not in the break is Jalabert, Laurent Jalabert, Frenchman, sprinter. He then attacks off the front, and then he attacks and catches Roberto Heras, who's this dynamic climber who won the Vuelta a bunch of times. Lance Armstrong's, you know, one of his best climbing superstars. And Jalabert goes through him, and then finally Pantani catches and passes him. Jalabert puts up a time that's probably up there close to what Pogacar did today. Spoiler. And that's maybe the most disturbing part of that era, which is and everyone's talking about Pantani, but this guy that's not a climber bests all the climbers. Okay, so let's get right into today's stage, and I want to take a look at. There we go, to the highlights here. So maybe I should be a little bit more prepared onto where we have today on the stage race. So today we have stage 2, San Francisco al Campo to Santiago de Europa, 161 kilometers. We talked about this and went over the stage yesterday. We've got a sprint spot about 93 kilometers in. We've got a Cat 3, and then the vaunted Cat 1 climb. And we are going to say, hey, how are we going to work this thing? How is this going to come about today? Well, they start from a velodrome and, you know, race starts off there. And I'll just tell you, get six or so riders off the front. No one really in contention here. Here you go. Scaroni of Astana, Piccolo of EF Education, Davide Baez. I think he was either he or his brother were in here yesterday. I think him because he's got one of the Inter Giro competition jerseys on now. Fiorelli was up here and Marcelli. Okay. So what the main thing you want to look at for this race is we saw yesterday, which is Pogacar. He's expected to be winning everything, of course, right? In this race. And he's actually said outright, look, it's disrespectful to my competitors if you say you make me so like it's a done deal. But they talked to a few of them and they're like, no, it's Pogacar. I mean, it's fine that you're doing this. But with that in mind, there's only a few ways to beat Pogacar, which is to put him on the front unnecessarily. We've seen that in a few races. We've seen that in the Tour a few years ago. Remember, think back, 2 years or so ago, our competitions of the Tour, when Roglic had wrecked, but he was still there, he and Vingegaard, and they attacked incessantly Roglic, and to the point where he was going after one, he's going after another, he's going after one, he's going after another, and he ends up losing some time that day. It was a big kind of a falter for him. Because he was, on the front too much. He thought he still thought Roglic was in the mix, and he actually wasn't. His back was hurt. Point being is that's a good way to actually get him to lose. And you saw this yesterday where his team UAE kind of messed up their lineup for their lineup for the domestiques, for who's climbing, who's going to be in what order. And Rafał Majka was probably too much work. And in the end, you ended up putting Pogacar on the front too soon on that climb, even though he attacks. You could have just done it a little bit. I just felt it was a little bit different. He wasn't able to get rid of everybody. And in the end, he ends up losing the stage, partly because of what I just say there. Now, so you coming into it today, and we talked about this just a little bit yesterday, which is, who's going to do the work? Well, why Ineos? I know they have the pink jersey, the leader's jersey, and you watch Phil and Paul and some of these other ones. They're like, hey, you're at the lead. You are expected. It's respect of the jersey for your team to go out there and pull. Okay, I get it. But Ineos, Jonathan Navarez, the Ecuadorian, is not going to win this race. He's no Carapaz, the other Ecuadorian, to have won pink and won the jersey. He's not going to win this, and Garrett Thomas is your guy, and putting your guys on the front doesn't do what you know you need to do, which is to tire out the team of UAE and make Tade come to the front when he maybe doesn't want to or need isolate him, right? That's going to be your only real chance here, I think. So what do they do for the first 100 kilometers or so? Ineos decides, we're gonna come to the front here, and we're gonna do what we can. Now there was some sprint points along the way. There was a wreck here. Olaf Coy gets caught up in it. Eddie Dunbar gets caught up in that wreck. Doesn't look so good for either one of those. Felt pretty bad actually, because Coy, you want to see him be able to. He's the sprinter for Visma Lisa bike, and you want to see him because that's going to be tomorrow. Piccoli ends up taking off the UAE rider for kind of going solo here, but the races are kind of conglomerating because in the last, the first 100 kilometers or so, it's going to be somewhat flat. Then they start hitting some of these peaks, and you want to have UAE do all the work, okay? But they weren't. Ineos was doing a lot of work. Now, it was kind of mixed in there, and then UAE comes to the front, and then Ineos decides, nope, we want to really be pushing this thing. So, once again, they have it. But coming up to the last two big climbs, Piccoli, he still has the lead, and you can see this. Ineos still dragging along. They come in 11.2 kilometers, about ready to start the climb. And very reminiscent of the situation where we just talked about Pantani back in 1999 has a chain problem and he gets set behind. Tadej Pogacar has a flat tire here, and there's a corner coming up. He tells this guys, I want to change it before the corner. They say, no, let's change it after. And he's kind of confused. He goes to go around the corner. You can see us here. And the tire splats out. There's the stuff in there that's supposed to seal it up. It kind of comes off the rim, and he goes down. Now, it wasn't a big deal. Good thing the car didn't hit him. He has to get a new bike. He gets a little pissed off. His team immediately comes back. They help pace him up to the front. Really no panic. I thought the team could have dropped back a little bit quicker, but then they get up to the front, and then they set up to do what they're supposed to do. They're 6.5. They pick him off, and you've got Zeberg coming up to the front. Now, Groschartner was the guy that had some problems yesterday. Domen Novak also, he did really pretty good, but he also had a little bit, there's a weird situation of should Novak been in front of Groschartner as far as the pacing time of which one's up there first. This time they got Groschartner, Then they had Zberg comes up. Mikhail Zberg comes up there. He starts drilling it to the point where Novak doesn't even really be able to take his pace. At 4.3, a little bit before that, Mikhail Rafał Majka is up there doing his thing. And then there you go. Tadej Pogacar with 4.3 just lights it up. Ben O'Connor of Decathlon decides to go with him, and then there's a little bit of a gap, and there's back to Garrett Thomas, there's a few others, but you know, just a little bit later, Ben O'Connor, he can't hold on. Now he's still struggling and fighting his way along. Garrett Thomas comes up to him, and Garrett Thomas doesn't really take a pull. Next thing you know, you got a bunch of guys kind of all conglomerating behind him. Kian Uchebroeks for Lisa Bike comes up there. He's looked like he's doing really well. Then Ben O'Connor starts to have problems as a few of these other riders tend to go past. I think Chavez was up there, Lutsenko. You had two Bora riders, which was Danny Martinez. He ends up making a good move up to the front. Narvaez is just taken off the back. Once again, a lot of work for Ineos that was probably unnecessary in the day. Just really helping out UAE, and Tadej looks pretty good. Now, immediately he gets this jump on everybody, and he's like 30 seconds up, and then it just kind of solidifies. It doesn't get much there. I don't know if it's because he got a different bike. He didn't have his head unit on. He's not sure what his power is. He didn't look super great, okay? Now, he looked very good, and he's putting a decent amount of time on everybody, but there's also a group behind. Like I said, the Boer riders, you got... anyway, they ended up coming in here. Tadej takes the win. Nicely done. But behind, you got Danny Martinez in second. Ineos, Garrett Thomas in third. And we will talk about Kuta Ochebrooks. Unayo, I think, was up there. Storr was up there as well. And then Ben O'Connor back there about a minute. So we will walk through each one of those. So you have UAE with the pink jersey. And... there we go. Tadej Pogacar, Danny Martinez, Garrett Thomas, Lorenzo Fortunato of Astana, Florian Lipowitz. Lipowitz, that's the guy for Bora. He actually rode really good today, pacing Danny Martinez for the Bora team. He looked a little off yesterday, but once again, first day of the Grand Tour, you kind of get an opener. It's a punchy race. It's a little bit different. Jan Hurt down there in 10th. Juan Pedro Lopez, Einar Rubio from Movistar, Kian Uchebroeks for Team Visa Lisa Bike in 7th, Michael Storr, I'm going from the bottom up here, Michael Storr in 6th, Florian Lipowitz in 5th, 4th, Lorenzo Fortunato, Garrett Thomas, Daniel Martinez, and Tadej Pogacar. There you go. Those are the times. Let's go back to the times here real quick. 27 seconds. So there's a time bonus there, but 27 seconds, 37 seconds, 35, 37. And then it all of a sudden it drops to a minute for Ben O'Connor. So Ben O'Connor tried to go. Tadej said he flew a little too close to the sun, trying to hold his wheel, and then couldn't quite make it. But now you have Tadej Pogacar up 45 seconds. Remember, Garrett Thomas loses the whole Giro last year by 14 seconds. He's already down 45 in stage two of the Giro to Tadej. So there you go. Ben O'Connor, 124. I think he still has a good chance. Esteban Chavez, 124. Kuhn Uchebroeks, 54 seconds. We'll see how he does. Danny Martinez, 45. I just don't know if Danny Martinez. So who's the threats here for the overall second and third place for the podium? I really believe it's going to be Garrett Thomas. He looks good enough right now, and he knows how to ride a Grand Tour. He's probably going to come into himself. He may get himself a stage win at some point. I don't think he's ever going to be dropping Tadej Pogacar. There's 75 kilometers of time trialing in this race, so that does bode well for Pogacar. Not so good for Kian Uchebroeks, kind of the middle of the range there for Martinez. He's had some great time trials and then not so great. Ben O'Connor, same with him. So Esteban Chavez, I really see you're going to probably solidify Garrett Thomas in second place probably quite nicely, and then it's going to be a fight for third. And I don't know if Danny Martinez can hold out for that. I do expect, actually, Ben O'Connor to be making his way up the leaderboard at some point. Tomorrow's going to be, you know, sprint. They've got a little bit of a climb here, and then but it's a sprint at the finish. So we will look forward to that. Okay, let's take a look at the results here in that was our stage we had there today. And the full results, we'll look at all the categories here. Once again, Pogacar gets the win up there. Who really had a bad time? Well, Alex Bodin of Decathlon, he actually is going good. I think he's leading the white jersey. He was up there 14th, just real close to his teammate Ben O'Connor. Plapp had a little bit of a tough time. Pozzovivo had another crash today. He had a little bit of a tough time. Magnus Sheffield looking pretty good at 151 down. You don't expect much out of him, so that's a good job. Tyn Ernsman loses 136, so he's been, you know, somewhat bad. What about Romain Bardet? I want to see where. Oh, there he goes. Romain Bardet loses 120, not so good. His team actually, he was throwing up yesterday, so that's one aspect to you know, maybe with his problem. So you have the GC, we talked about that. The points jersey, Filippo Fiorelli, remember he was in the breakaway the last few days, so he's been getting points there. But Tade is obviously moving up. He's in second. We'll see that change probably tomorrow. We'll start to when we start to get in tomorrow and then the rest of the week for some sprints here. The KOM, Tade got most of the points because he hit the big cat one today. Danny Martinez in second, Lilian Calmajon in third, and Piccolo, Andrea Piccolo of EF in fourth place, getting those points along the way in the stage there. Kian Uttabrooks is in the young rider's jersey. It's really the first time we haven't seen Tade in this because he aged out. Alex Bodin is in second at 44 seconds. Marius van Savenot in third. So really looking good there for Uttabrooks. And I will be interesting to see, you know, it's not his first. Remember, he did the Vuelta last year. Let's take a look and see what his results were at the Vuelta a España last year. He was eighth place general classification overall. So solid work for him. As far as the team competition, Bora is leading that there. Okay, Victor says, my Max subscription is paid for, except it is in the works in progress. Works soon, I hope. Well, I hope so too. I found that Max has been pretty good for me. I do like their platform. It's the Eurosport, and it's worth it. You know, so this is what my anticipation is, which is you're going to have Max for the Giro, probably for the Vuelta, and Peacock is going to be there for the Tour de France. That's my expectation, at least for what I think it's going to be. Why don't we go here and take a look at this climb? Because here is a tweet here, and let's see if I can get this a little bigger. These are the times up the Europa, okay? And it said Urgrimov in 1993 got it in 18 minutes and 12 seconds. 1999, that's when we just saw a little bit of a Marco Pantani, got it in 17:04. That's the record. Nairo Quintana, who was in this race as well, he got it in there in 18:30. Then Tom Dumoulin in 2017 over Quintana, by the way, gets the time up there of 17:37, 18:14, they say, for Bernal in 2019. But once again, I could not find that at all, at least that they even went up there. And then Pogacar today, 17:31. Not 30 seconds off or so off of Pantani for that climb of the last, you know, 4.3 kilometers that he really took off. Didn't really bury his components, competitors and opponents that much, I feel, on this one. So there's a lot to take away from everybody else. Now, is Pogacar just kind of holding back because of the Tour and he doesn't want to bury himself? Maybe is he not quite great? Maybe the other guys aren't so bad? I don't know. It's going to be difficult to really see on that aspect. But let's take a look here and let's listen to an interview with Garrett Thomas. After the finish, see what he has to say. Let's go 1.25, so we just get out of here pretty quick, and let's take it away.
Oh, nothing new, that is it, but we expected it. Oh, I was hoping to follow, but I knew if I tried to keep going like that, I'd completely blow up. Felt bad for sitting on Ben, but I was on the limit for a while there. I had to recover, and the group came up to us, and then it was a case of just trying to recover and try and get some points in the some seconds in the sprint end. Yeah, I don't know really what happened to him, but like I say, I did feel quite bad not pulling, but I was like, mate, I'm on the limit now, and I just had to judge it, and wait for that group to come and get us and try and just recover. No, honestly, I didn't know until we got to the climb and then they said, Teddy's back. I was like, all right, okay. The radios are just terrible, but it's no real idea. But yeah, the plan was to go on the front with, I don't know, like the, not the penultimate one, but the one before that anyway, because it was technical, take it up there, ride the front, not attacking, but just be safe at the front, fast tempo, and you know, we knew it'd be chaos behind.
Great for you, happy with the performance of today?
Yeah, I was, didn't feel quite as good as I did yesterday, felt punchier yesterday, but no, it's okay for the second day. Hopefully, we can continue to ride into the race and all to play for, but obviously, Tade is, well, he's Tade.
Was there also a bit about protecting the pink jersey today?
We would have liked to, but like I say, the reason we rode was because it was so technical and we just wanted to get the front out of trouble.
Thanks. Interesting little point there. He makes the comment that they rode because the race was technical and they wanted to stay out of the trouble, which I don't believe because the first part of the race wasn't. Also, the director had an interview, I think, during the race and or after anyway, and he said, no, they were doing it out of respect for the jersey. So, you know, it's nice you're saying that, Garrett. I know maybe you're smart enough to know that that's not necessarily the best thing that for the team to have done today. But so there it is. Let's see. Is there anybody else interview yet to finish? Let's try Piccolo. Let's see.
Joint Planet Fitness.
Sorry. So ads are coming here. So we'll try Piccolo here at the finish and see what he had to say about his day out. I think he speaks English.
But the goal of the day and the goal of the Giro is to try to win a stage. We know that it can be not easy, but we try every day. And today we try, but we know also that YA was controlling the race behind, taking control of the peloton. And yeah, I tried. I give my best. I took the point for the blue jersey also, and maybe we don't know.
It can also be a goal, the blue jersey for the. On the next stage.
Of course, can be a goal after the first week. In we see the second win and the third one.
Just words about Roger, because you trained a lot before coming here. Did you expect to be at such level at the beginning of the Giro?
Actually, I expected a good shape because I train a lot. I felt very good on training, but of course the race is different than training.
Okay, let's see if there's any other interviews we should have at the end of the race. I know there's Tadej Pogačar, but he's going to say what he's going to say. So I don't know. I think we're done with the interviews. Okay, let's take a look then at tomorrow. We're going to start going into the sprinters. So let's take a look at who the sprinters are in this race and kind of the ranking that they have up here. Olav Koy, Team Visa, Lisa Bike. He's the number one rated sprinter here, and he is a very good rider, sprinter. We're going to have to look kind of at the team. Now, Robert Hessink, his teammate, crashed out yesterday. He broke his wrist or hurt his wrist yesterday to the point where he didn't even start today. So he's already a DNS. So they're already down one rider. Now, did they come to this with a lead out group? Not really. So, and then Koy crashes today, so everything's a little bit suspicious about whether you would pick him as your primary person for tomorrow, being the sprint stage. Otherwise, you got Tim Miller. He's got a Sudal Quickstep team. They look pretty good. Fabio Jakobsen used to be Sudal. He's with Team DSM Firmatech Postal NL. Remember, he had that bad crash in the Tour of Turkey a few years ago with Groenewegen. Up against the barriers. He's come back and had some good sprints since then, but he's not quite been the same rider. Jonathan Milan for Little Trek. He does have a team that I would be looking for that it's going to do a lot of good work for him. Now, Tim Miller up there, Sudal Quickstep, he's got Luca Lamperti for a U.S. American rider that probably is going to be his lead out. So that will be interesting to watch. Bahrain Merida, or Victoria, sorry, Phil Bauhaus, Caden Groves for Alpecin, Tobias Anderson for DSM. He should be leading out Fabio, but it depends on which one of those, because there is a little bit of a climb going up into the finish here. Zonincello for VF Group, Danny Van Poppel for Bora, Caleb Ewan for Team Jayco Alula. Now, he's down there at 10th ranked, but I would put him much higher as to, you know, Caleb, his Palmares and his racing results over the years does warrant him to be in the conversation of a sprinter. He went for it on a little hill the other day, over the top for a bonus sprint, and he won. So he's actually looking pretty good. Juan Sebastian Milano for UAE. He was added to the... I don't know why they brought him as a sprinter, but he is here. Danese, Gourmet, like I said, Consoni, Lopperti, Wazzelno, Matteo Trentin, and then Pithy. I wouldn't put Pithy down here. And thus, that climb up at the finish is really problematic. So the ones I'm really looking at here, Binyam Gourmet, Caleb Ewing, Caden Groves, I mean, this thing's stacked, Jonathan Milan, Tim Miller, and Olav Koy. I mean, I'm probably going for Tim Miller just based on the fact that he's got the best team to help him. But as far as his team and Little Trek, those are the two that I would say are probably the best suited for this situation. Well, and then Alpecin Phoenix, DeKoenig, sorry. But I don't know that Caden Groves, I would put him in quite the he did win a bunch at the Vuelta last year, but this is just a little bit different. So it'll be interesting to see how all this goes. There is some zigzagging the last 3 kilometers. They come in. There's some right turns, left turns, right turns, left turn, and then it does pretty much last straight. So it'll be interesting if you get caught up that at least it's in the last 3 kilometers. But I am expecting a Tim Miller, an Olav Koy, unless Koy's hurt, battle with Jonathan Milan and Caleb Ewing. But man, I mean, this is what's great about the sprinting, which is you can just be off a little bit. And you see this with Caleb especially. Well, look, if he's not on and the right wheel and he gets moved out of position and he's not able to push you out of position into the right time, he's really not going for the sprint. And you'll see that with some of these guys. So it'll be a real interesting thing. I tend to believe that it's going to be a Miller, Jonathan Milan type of sprint there. Once again, Koy could be in the mix if he's feeling okay after the wreck. If he's not quite feeling, because it hit his knee and he had a bloody elbow, so if those aren't quite right, you could see maybe a Caden Groves pop up there as well. Now, I'm most interested to see if Luke Lamperti is set up to be the lead out for Tim Miller, and if so, then I'll be going for them. That would be just kind of an interesting little aspect of it. There you go. So let's take a look here. Let's take a look at the actual stage. Here's the profile. We've got 166 kilometers. It does have this bonus sprint. You have a Cat 4, a sprint spot, a little bit of a bump here, about 100 kilometers in. 144, you have a bonus sprint, and then this kicker, it's at the top of that. It's 1.2 kilometers at 6.1%, and then it does continue to rise, but then, you know, look, what, 160, about 3-4 kilometers. From the finish here, you've got this Fossano climb, 1.8 kilometers at 4.2. It's not devious. I mean, it's less than the 6.1, obviously, but it's almost 2 kilometers long, and it will be come into play. So it'll be interesting to see if any of these teams, if they think, hey, we have a sprinter that can get up and over this, we're going to try to work everybody else and, you know, get it so we minimize everybody, put them down so we can have it all to ourselves. All right, that's our prediction, our stage for tomorrow. We will be on, what time are we going to do tomorrow? I'll try to do the same time, maybe. We'll see. Keep your alerts on so that when it does come time for everything, you get able to hear me. I'll give you maybe at least a half an hour, 45-minute intro or lag time so you get a chance to do it. All right, everybody, until tomorrow. See ya.
Froome now, he goes on the offensive, he goes on the attack over the top of this final climb, and nobody at the moment can go with him.
He had 75 kilometers to go, and now under the Flamme Rouge, there he is still, the virtual Maglia Rosa on the road. Who would have thought it at the start of today? But Chris Froome.